What's up, everyone? This is Dan from The Greatest Story Ever Played. Just wanted to pop by real quick to intro this episode. Episode we've got here is our favorite openings to video games. This was initially recorded as a Patreon episode that Jordan and I did back in the day, and wanted to repurpose it here so people could listen to it. The kind of concept or where this came from was that sometimes in like a TV show, right, they have kind of the cold open where you begin the show before the commercial break happens, before the credits, and it's kind of that hook, that thing that sinks you in. And video games sometimes have that as well, where, you know, that first chunk of the game, first half hour, first 10 minutes, whatever it might be, and it gives you that, like, oh my god, I'm in. What's next? I've got to see this through. And so that was sort of the vision or the thought in this episode, is just talking through some of our favorite openings to video games that kind of drew us in. I guess for these, I guess it's mild spoilers because it's openings, but, you know, they don't spoil anything major, just the first 10 minutes or half hour or whatever of the game, maybe. But yeah, we really enjoyed these hooks. We hope you did as well. But yeah, thanks for listening, and I'll pass it over to the tape.
Hey guys, welcome to The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Jordan. Dan's here too. Obviously, at this point, you're contributing to our podcast. You already know that, but yeah, we're gonna record on our favorite openings in video games. So this is like favorite entry level or favorite, like, I don't know, beginning cutscene, something like that, that kind of gets you into the game, amps you up, gets you ready to play. And I guess before we go any farther, just again want to thank you guys for supporting our podcast. It definitely means a lot. It keeps the lights on, pays for hosting and things like that. So we definitely appreciate you guys a bunch, and thanks for listening and sticking with us over the 2 years?
Coming up on three.
Oh shit. Okay. Three years.
In March it's three.
Oh wow. Okay, yeah, so basically 3 years. Doesn't feel like it's been that long.
I know, it's really gone by super fast. It's crazy. I agree, yeah, though, but, as Jordan said.
But I guess with COVID, this last year's felt like we just skipped it a year.
No, you're totally right. It does feel like that one was like a fast forward, basically.
Yeah, cool. Like I said, favorite openings in video games. I can start. So yeah, we're doing top five, so we each have five, and we have some honorable mentions, too. We'll start with five and go up to one, like the usual. So my fifth favorite opening in video games I've played is probably The Witcher 3. And it's not from, nothing in the intro. I remember being that crazy. Like, there's nothing, one specific scene or thing you do, but I think you just kind of get thrown in, and then you're exploring this, it's called White Orchard. It's a pretty sizable map. And I did, like, everything, I think, in this area. And it took me about 10 or 15 hours, I think. So it's a lot of content. And then once you get outside of that, then the game essentially is like, welcome to The Witcher 3. And then the game actually starts. So it's,
wow.
It just kind of gives you a taste of, like, buckle in. You're going to spend 150, 200 hours if you want to do everything. So that's why it's just so good, is it just, you get a taste for everything, you can level up, you can do everything, there's a lot of cool shit, and then you're like, oh, this is cool, what happens next? And then the game starts. So it's just, it's insane.
That's crazy. How, okay, so you were able to spend mm-hmm. 10 or 15 hours there. How long could you do it if you thought you were trying to do it, like, the fastest?
You could probably do it in a couple hours.
Okay.
And again, it's been a while since I've played the intro. I honestly, it could be 2 hours for all I know. I just remember spending a lot of time in it. Because, like, on the map, the mini map, there's, like, question marks. You can go and explore and get loot and stuff like that. And I did all of those. So that added a bunch of time. But it's so in-depth. It almost, I just didn't even think it was the intro. I was like, oh, I'm playing the game.
Right.
Like, this is just the game. Yeah, and then... yeah, then there's a cool cinematic, and then The Witcher 3 pops up, and it's like, oh, shit, okay. Guess that was just a little, the intro, opening. But you could probably breeze through it in a couple hours
if you wanted to. Okay, cool. No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Is, can you go back if you like wanted to? So like, let's say you got to the, you know, the cinematic, the game actually starts. Could you go back to this place and do shit you skipped?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's just a small part of the map. But yeah, you can go right to it whenever you want to. You can fast travel to it. You can, ride your horse to it, walk to it, whatever. It's just part of the game at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. No, that's good to know. I ended up actually buying this the other day.
It's ten bucks.
So I was like, all right, I'll pull the trigger. Because even if I never play it or I play it once or something, like $10 is worth the gamble, let alone if I like it and, you know, spend 200 hours playing it.
Yeah, seems worth it either way.
Yeah, I feel like it's never probably going to be lower than that. Like, even if it does reach a new low, like, can it actually go below $10? Like, that seems pretty unlikely, so I might as well pull the trigger.
Yeah. Maybe used at GameStop in, like, 4 years it'll be $5 or something, but I'd be surprised.
Right, yeah. It seems hard to, like, have the stars align in a way that would be less than that. Like, that might be the new low, but, like, yeah, it just seems like that'd be pretty crazy. But cool. No, that's good to know about that, though. I'm definitely interested to see that, you know, like, this game's so renowned.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite games of all time, for sure. It's a doozy, though. Be prepared if you get into it to lose some friends, you know.
Yeah. It seems like a game that when you start it, it becomes a lot of what you do.
Yep.
Assuming you're into it.
Yep. Yeah. Assuming. Yeah. Let me know as you play what your vibe is of it. I think most people I've talked to that have played it love it, but it's definitely not for everyone. Yeah. Let me know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I figure it'll be a while before I start it, because I just started Red Dead Redemption 2, so I think I got some time before I'll come around to this, but I figured I might as well snag it while I can.
Good move.
Yeah. Cool. I'll jump into my number 5, which is the beginning of Horizon Zero Dawn. So this was a game that obviously we've talked about a lot, but before I'd ever played it or anything, I had just heard of it, and I was like, okay, robot dinosaurs in the future, people live more like, I don't know, hunter-gatherer types, I guess. Can this game be cool or not? What's the vibe? Whatever. And so before I ever bought it, I actually rented it from the library, because the library that was near my house has games. And so I don't know if I knew that.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so, you know, I occasionally would go grab games there and just, you know, look at them for a little bit to decide if I wanted to buy them. Like, how is it? And so this game starts, and I put it in there, and, you know, Rost has baby Aloy, like, with him, and he's, like, you know, hiking through the area they live in. You're seeing robot dinosaurs, everything like that. Then he, like, puts her, like, holds her, or gives her to the old ladies. The old ladies, like, hold her in the air, kind of like Simba, and yell, Aloy, and then give her to Rost, and he, like, leaves. And you're like, all right, what the fuck is this game? Like, all right. And, like, and so I felt a lot of, like, awe and just, like, okay, what is this? I want more. So I stopped playing, and I, you know, returned it to the library and just bought it, like, a little bit after that. But I was like, all right, I'm in. I want to play this game.
Nice. Yeah, I remember that intro scene. It was pretty cool. Because it kind of pans out to, like, doesn't it kind of show you some of the map, too, when they hold you up? So you kind of get a lay of the landscape a little bit. It's like, wow, this is pretty big.
Yeah, it felt like it was like a, like, okay, you have this big world. Almost like when you first look at Jurassic Park or something like that, and you're like, like, there's this huge world before us. It, like, felt like that kind of, and you know, and I guess for a game, you know, what they did clearly worked. I was like, okay, I gotta buy this game. So that's why this ended up making my list, is I was like, I saw that, and then I was like, okay, I'm in. Like, so well done by them.
Yeah, I definitely still need to finish this. It's one of those things that's kind of, yeah, gotten away from me.
Yeah, definitely gotta finish it. Totally worthwhile.
Yeah. I know it's like your favorite game of all time, so I'll have to finish it. At least just for you, if not for myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Hitting up number four. Oh, and this, we're going to have some overlap too in our lists. So we both played some similar games and we've happened to play really good games. So yeah, there'll be some overlap, just a heads up. But my number four is BioShock, the first one. And this is when you enter Rapture, which is the underwater kind of dystopia city. We've done an episode on this, so if you want more content on this, it's out there somewhere. But yeah, you go down in the submarine, and you just kind of, you're in this like glass bubble thing type submarine, and you just kind of go underwater, and then before you, this massive underwater futuristic looking city. It feels kind of like I don't know, 50s with like neon lights and like New York almost, but underwater. And there's a bunch of crazy fish, bunch of like coral, and then there's just massive expanse of a city. It's pretty nuts, and it really kind of it made me really excited. Like, all right, I want to explore every inch of this crazy looking city. This is insane.
Mm-hmm. There's the statue. It says like what, like no gods, no kings, only man, or something like that. And it really like sets just a like, whoa, what is this place? And you get a call from Atlas like right away before you ever exit your elevator. And he's like, hey, everything's bad here, help me save my family. And you're like, okay. Yeah, and then you crazy. Meet like a Splicer. It's like, this is, it's just such a fucking wild intro.
Yeah, because before you can even get out of the elevator sub thing, yeah, there's something trying to break in to kill you, and it's pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. Kind of scary. Like, what the fuck is going on? Made the wrong call.
Right.
Going into this thing. Right.
Yeah, and you've never, you know, you don't know what Splicers are as the player or as your character or whatever, and you're like, it's like a person on drugs, and then you find out, oh, everyone's on drugs and are crazy here, and, yeah. You know, they can shoot fire and climb on walls and shit. Like, oh, man. Yeah, this is such a good intro.
Yep. Yeah, it gives you a real quick taste of what you're in for the rest of the game in, like, the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It really sets it up, and like you said, you're like, okay, this underwater city, and so you just, it like sets you up of like, okay, what is this place? And you like find out about it more as you go. Like, yeah, it really sets a good tone for the game.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we'll move to my number four, which is from Firewatch. So Firewatch begins actually with a, I guess, texting or text-based thing, which is, you know, you get a series of questions and then you answer them one way or another. And it's about Henry and his wife meeting, falling in love, and then ultimately her, oh man, what does she get?
Is it there Alzheimer's or dementia?
Yeah, one of those two. One of those two. I was losing the word, so thank you. Yeah, she gets Alzheimer's or dementia, and you see her deteriorate, and then end up moving back in with her folks, and you know, you leave to start the game of Firewatch, and so this game like just gives you in like a couple minutes of answering questions, basically all the baggage that your character's taking into this game, and I thought that this was a fantastic intro because of how much it, like, hit you in the feels without ever knowing anything. You know, you're like, oh, I feel real bad now, like, about all of this, just to, like, begin your game. And I thought that was really, that's always stood out to me as really impressive that, you know, just words in a short span of time that we're not emotionally invested into anything yet, and they just brought that for us, and you bring that, like, into the rest of the game after that. I thought that was so, so good.
Yeah, I agree. I remember we played this together. Yeah, and after the intro, we're just like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I have to take a break. just reading that. It was like watching a really sad movie, but just watching like the subtitles and not looking at what's actually happening. But it was, I don't know how they did it. It just, yeah, it sucked me in. I know it sucked you in. And it, man, I forgot about that intro. That was really good, really moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Definitely not like anything else I've seen before where it's like strictly text-based as a like, here's what's gone on. And I guess making us even be part of it, filling in the details, like, do you buy a big dog or a small one? Or, you know, did you beat up the guy that like tried to mug you or like all that stuff? Like it's, it's so,
yeah.
Super good.
Yeah, really, yeah, really random. And yeah, the way they just weaved it together was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it starts off pretty like low key. It's like, you know, you trying to flirt with her at a bar and being dumb, and you're like, haha, this is fun. And then it's like, oh, this is really not fun. She has dementia. I feel horrible. And then then you have spots where you're like, your only choices are bad. Like, tell her, like, when she gets that job or whatever, and it's like, tell her she can't have the job, or tell her, okay, you can come home on weekends or whatever. It's like, dude, don't be a bitch. Just move with her. Like,
I know. It's so
you
know,
frustrating. It's like, it was really great. They, like, eased you into it, gave you hard decisions, and then gave you bad stuff, and you're just like, man, this is... I got strung along real well.
Yeah, it's like, I would never make those decisions in real life, and I hated clicking the button to pick one of them. Mm-hmm. It sucked.
Yep.
I hate when games make you do that, but it worked
really
well.
Yeah, it worked really well. You're just like, man, you're making me choose two things I don't want.
Yeah. Stupid. Cool. My number three is God of War 3. It's the, again, it's a pretty long intro. It's not not like The Witcher long, but essentially you kind of start out and you're on the back of a titan. It's like a, I don't really want to get that much into Greek mythology, but it's like a giant, I think it was Gaia, like the giant, I don't know what you'd say, earth titan. And there's a couple other ones. They're like climbing Mount Olympus to like go and kill all the gods up there. And it's just pandemonium. It's crazy. You're like climbing on this giant titan being while it's climbing this mountain. And all throughout this time, there's like minions trying to get you off, to kill you, to make you fall. There's like Poseidon and other gods are like going crazy trying to kill these titans and trying to kill you. It's just pure pandemonium, and it's brutal, and it just kind of gets you it, like the game just starts off on 10 and it never stops, which is God of War 3 the whole time. You're just destroying things, you're killing things. It's brutal, it's graphic, it's super fun. So I think this is one of the craziest intros. Just, he doesn't even give you any dialogue. You just kind of start and you're like, all right, guess we're doing this. I mean, it leaves off right where God of War 2 ended, I'm pretty sure. But it's crazy.
Okay.
Pure craziness.
That sounds wild. So then it basically just sets you up for you just kill everyone all the time from here on sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy because you essentially, spoiler alert, it's an old game, so sorry. You make it to the top, then you get knocked off, and then you can start all the way down in Hades, in Hell, whatever it's called. And you have to get all the way back up. So it's just a crazy... you start off at the beginning of the game so close to like accomplishing your goal, and then you start off at the very, very furthest away from that you possibly could. And the game's about getting back there and like killing Zeus and all this shit. It's crazy.
Okay. That's awesome. That's cool. That's a cool way to start that game. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was like, man, I feel like I'm going to beat this game. And obviously I wouldn't, but I'm going to accomplish the goal that I thought was the main goal in the first 3 hours or 5 hours of playing. And then, nope, you don't. You're 20-some hours away from doing that.
That's awesome. That's cool. I like that. That sounds like a really fun way to start a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. If you want for the next one, you can.
Yeah.
skip since I stole one of yours.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. So my number three was also BioShock, so we talked about that. So I'll skip ahead to my number two, which is the beginning of The Last of Us. So beginning of this game starts with the outbreak. And so you don't, you know what's going on or what to expect really in this game at all. You first start playing as Sarah, who's Joel's daughter, and you're like looking around your house trying to figure out where he is. I think there's a message from like Tommy on your voicemail, and he sounds nervous. Mm-hmm. Your dad Joel shows up. You switch to playing as Joel. Tommy shows up and gets him. He's like, shit's getting bad, we gotta get out of the city. And then you're trying to get
You're like, what the fuck is happening?
You try to get out of the city, and it's total chaos. Like, everyone else is trying to get out of the city. Zombies show up. Chaos ensues. Army shows up. More sadness. Like, it's such a wild start to this game. And then you get your time jump, like, right after, and you're like, what? What happened? Like, you're... It's so good.
Yeah, this is... Spoiler alert. Oh, not spoiler. This is my number two as well. But yeah, this intro, it's sad, it's crazy, it's kind of scary and hectic all in one, I don't know, 20 minute thing. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a game do so much with 20 minutes of time where you're not, again, like, not invested in the characters at all. I think after seeing that, I was immediately hooked, and then I didn't ever look back, I just played it.
Yeah, same. The hook is huge. You're like, this is so crazy. You like feel the terror, all of that going. You get the sadness, and then it jumps ahead 20 years or whatever, and you're like, okay, this game like really came out swinging. Like, what else is in store for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so nuts. Yeah, it's God, such a good game. One of those games that I feel like every time we talk about it, I'm like, I'm gonna play it again, and I always forget about it, but. Maybe I'll do that now.
No, yeah, it always feels like that. Also, as a side comment, and also maybe information you didn't know, but for the HBO series, I feel like this intro needs to be the first episode. Like, this whole thing just needs to be episode one. They can't gloss over it. Like, they need to make you do all of this for a whole episode, I think.
Wait, when's that coming out?
No date yet, but yeah. They did announce casting. Which is, Joel is going to be Pedro Pascal of The Mandalorian. Yeah. Ooh, nice. So he's going to be Joel. And then, I forget, it's Bella something. I don't remember her last name, but she was in Game of Thrones. She's going to be Ellie. She was one of like the side characters in Game of Thrones, but she's going to be Ellie. She was good in Game of Thrones, so I think she'll be good as Ellie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really watch Game of Thrones, but I'm definitely going to look her up later and see if she resembles Ellie or not.
She does decently. But yeah, I'm super excited that The Mandalorian is going to be Joel. I think he'll be good at that. Like, you know, he as The Mandalorian, it's probably kind of similar to what Joel is with Ellie anyway.
Yeah. Just murders people and is badass and then protects this little innocent thing.
Yeah, so I feel like that will work. But yeah, I feel like the show, though, for sure, though, to get back to the point, is episode one needs to be just this intro. Like, I don't think they should do the time jump or anything like that. Like, they should really have you live in the chaos of, like, the world breaking down for an episode.
That would be awesome if they flushed a little bit more of it out, showed a little bit more shit going on. That would be great. Hopefully they do that. I mean, HBO makes really good shows, so I assume they'll know what they're doing with this.
Yeah, I would think so. And just, like, I bet you could pad some of that a little more. Like, you could have, like, you know, Sarah's looking around the house, but then you could even, like, cut to Tommy, like, making the call, like, trying, you know, like, I think you could add little bits to it. Maybe see a little more of the mayhem when shit's breaking down, like seeing zombies just attacking randos.
Yeah, like, that'd be cool.
Like that kind of thing. Because I feel like a lot of times in media, you don't actually see like the outbreak where it's happening. You see like right after, you know, it's like, it picks up and it's like, oh yeah, the outbreak happened 6 weeks ago, like in The Walking Dead, or, you know, something like that. It's like, it's a little bit ago, but like to actually get to see it happening live, like, I think that would be cool to have it do that. Like, you know, where people are like, is it really happening? You know, news reports or something like, oh, things are getting weird or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, there's zombies in the street.
Yep. And then just see how quick it goes from like, from outbreak to like, or the world's done.
And then what would be cool too is that episode two, then you just pick up and it's like immediately the 20 years later thing, which, you know, if you were someone watching The Last of Us who didn't play the game, you'd probably see episode two and you'd be like, wait, what the fuck? What happened? Like, I feel like, oh man, I feel like anyone who would watch that show who hasn't played the game would be in for so many treats because there, you know, there's so much good in it.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. Cool, yeah, that was also, again, that was my number two, so I'll just jump ahead to my number one. So it's actually the intro for Skyrim, and I think Skyrim's probably my favorite game of all time. It's that or Last of Us, I don't know. But yeah, Skyrim, so pretty iconic intro. You start out, you're like a prisoner in like a wagon being taken to be executed, and you are essentially, they just cut people's heads off. Like, they put your head on like a wooden thing and they just axe it. So they put your head on this wooden thing and they kind of position the camera. You're like looking up and then they're about to axe your head off. And then a fucking dragon shows up, which in the game, dragons hadn't been seen for, I don't know, 1,000 years, something crazy. So it's just an insane intro. You go from like about to being killed to seeing a dragon. Pandemonium ensues, and then you just escape, and then the game starts. It's so crazy. Again, my favorite game, my favorite intro, probably. It just kind of sets things up really well. It's a really fun intro, iconic for me.
That's cool. I like that. That's an awesome intro. I really like that.
You haven't played Skyrim, have you?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of old at this point.
Yeah, it sort of sucks that it's so old that I don't know if I can, like, I don't know if it would be shitty if I tried to play it now or not, you know?
Yeah, there's a huge community for it, so there's a lot of mods for it. So I think you can mod it and make it look really good. I played it a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and it still held up for me, but again, I love it, so it has a lot of sentimental value and replayability for me. But if you're being your first time, it might not be worth jumping in. You might just want to wait for the next Elder Scrolls game, which who knows when that'll be, but I'm sure it'll be like Skyrim right. Plus a bunch of improvements.
Yeah, it sounds like from my understanding from games is that they just have dragged their feet and Skyrim just comes out on everything all the time. And they're like, oh, it was on PS3. Well, now it's on PS4. It'll probably be on PS5. You know, like they'll just... like the GTA...
they just keep remastering it.
Right, like Rockstar with GTA 5. It's like they just keep... oh, we'll just make it again. It's like, make the next one. Well, we'll just put this one out again.
Yeah. And people keep buying it, so it's smart on their part, but it's annoying because... mm-hmm. Like, bro, just, it's been, Skyrim came out in, like, 2010, 2011?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, it's been eight or nine years. Like, right, come on.
Yeah, it's...
They've released two Fallouts in that time, and Fallout 76 wasn't very good, so they need to do something better.
Yeah, it's crazy with that. I saw a thing the other day, which sucks, right, with people keep buying it, but I saw a thing the other day that said, I think GTA 5 was like among the top 10 PlayStation games bought last month or something like that. And I think I think it is every month. I'm like, who are all of these new people buying? Like, I don't understand. But like, you know, they're obviously never going to, they never need to make GTA 6 because of that.
I know. I feel like it's every kid that is like 10 or 12 or whatever and their parents finally let them get it. And they're just like, oh yeah, finally. So it's just every year that group of, that age group just buys GTA 5 because they're allowed to for the first time.
Yeah, it must be. I bought it probably like a year ago because it was like 15 or 10 bucks or something, but I haven't played it yet. So it's another among all the games I have of like big-ass games that I need to play, but like they're kind of a commitment, so I haven't played them yet.
yeah, it's good. Yeah, good luck.
But I think Skyrim probably should join that group of games, though, in the same way. I know, again, big game, and I bet I would like it. I guess since it is remastered for PS4, it's not like trying to play a PS3 game. Like, it has been updated some, at least. But it seems super cool. I remember when this first came out and you played it a lot, you know, all of that. So I feel like it's super worthy of playing. Okay, how about this? This is maybe making you pick your baby, but if I were to play Skyrim or Witcher 3, which would I play?
I think you'd like Witcher 3 more, but I like Skyrim more. And I think Witcher 3 is a... I don't know. It's so tough. I think the Witcher 3 gameplay is better. Like, combat is just 100% better in Witcher 3. But I just like the world of Skyrim more. And I don't know. I guess I'd pick Skyrim, but I think you would like Witcher 3 better. Okay,
cool. No, that's good to know. Yeah, they both feel like games that it's like, I need to get around to at some point. Like, they're, I don't know, important enough, so to speak. They've got to happen, but...
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, I'll do my number one, which is Uncharted 2. The game begins, and you're Nathan Drake, and you're on a train that is hanging over the side of a cliff, and so you're like... you know, upside down or on a train that's hanging over like a cliff that's shaped like an L, basically, you know, so the train is like falling down a mountain, and Nathan Drake like wakes up unconscious, and you have to like climb your way up this partially vertical train to get up to land. It's super fucking cool. And it's crazy because you're like, how the fuck did I get here?
Yeah, I was going to say, does the game just start with him on that train unconscious and he wakes up? What the fuck? That's crazy.
Super fucking cool. And so you're like, what the fuck happened? And once you make it to the top, they do a flashback and you play the game until you actually get to that point, and then it continues. But like, it's such a... Yeah, oh, but it's cool. Such a cool intro, because you're like, what the fuck? Where am I? What happened? You know? And also you're, you know, in peril, hanging off a train. Like, it's so fucking cool.
That's awesome. And Uncharted 2 is your favorite Uncharted,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it your favorite game of all time?
Favorite Uncharted game, not game in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's Horizon.
Yeah, I don't think Uncharted 2 would make my top 10 anymore. I think it used to be in my top 10 overall games, but I think it's been cut more recently. It's probably around 15 now, in that range.
What cut it that you've played recently?
Spider-Man. Let's see. I'm trying to think of recent games. Spider-Man is definitely one that like pushed ones down. Last of Us 2. Jumping up to top 5, knocked everyone down. Those are probably the two recent editions that have knocked stuff down.
Okay. Yeah. I know that's not the topic of what we're talking about, but I'm just curious. Maybe we'll have to do another top 10 at some point in the next year, because we're obviously going to play a lot of good games.
No, yeah. I think that would be a worthwhile one, doing a top 10. That would be cool. That'd probably end up being our longest Patreon episode, too, because... Talking through 10 games would be a lot. But I think that would be fun. I'd like to think about that. Because I feel like I've got a lot of... my top 10 feels pretty good right now. But, you know, my... I don't know, 10 through 15, those could be argued. And there are different games that would be top 10. Like, this is tangenting pretty hard. But, like I think, like, Pokemon Red and Blue, that probably was a top 10 at one point. But now it's probably just outside that for me. But, I mean, it's a pretty fucking good game.
Yeah. It sounds cool. It's a game I have to play as well. I mean, and luckily for me, you already have it, so I can just borrow it.
Yeah. Someday when you're, like, wanting to play Uncharted series, like, you'll be set up well since I've got them all. But they're fun, and they're all, like, reasonable lengths. Like, I think they're all like 15-ish hours, so they're not too bad. You don't have to like grind forever or anything like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's kind of just a nice like action-y shoot 'em type thing. So that's kind of nice.
Yep. Shoot 'em up, shoot 'em up game.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. That's our number one. So I've got a couple honorable mentions. Real quick then. First one is Jedi Fallen Order. The planet you start out on, you're doing like junkyard stuff, and then running away on the train when they figure out a force user's there and they chase you down, and it's actually really a lot like Uncharted. It's very Uncharted in that sequence.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun, and then you make that escape onto the ship with Seer, but you don't know her, and you're just like, all right, fuck it, like, they're not trying to kill me, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah. Dude, that intro was really good. This is another game I really want to play again.
Mm-hmm.
From what I heard, it has like Uncharted vibes, but then also like Dark Souls mm-hmm. combat. So like, it was so fun. Definitely would want to replay.
Oh yeah, I'm getting stoked for the second one. Assuming it's real and is coming out, but I would assume it has to be. But very much so
yeah.
want it. Another one, honorable mention that I liked a lot was in Detroit Become Human. When you're first on the roof with Connor, who is trying to talk down the android who wants to kill themselves, and maybe has a human hostage, mm-hmm. if I'm remembering right.
Yeah,
and so you're trying to like talk it down, and it just gives you a setup for like, okay, this world's kind of wild, and like maybe some androids can malfunction. Like, this is concerning. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really good intro, and then just the tension in that beginning kind of set up the rest of the game too. Like, you can't just wait 10 minutes to make a decision and Google what happens if you do the wrong thing or whatever. You got like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Hard. That's true. You've got to like just trust you're going to be right. Go for things. If you're wrong, like, bad shit can happen. Like, yeah, really great.
Yeah.
And then the last one is from a game called Donut County, which is basically like the silly puzzle game where you have a hole that swallows things, and the hole gets bigger the more it swallows things. And so, like, you know, first you swallow like a rock, and then it gets big enough to swallow a chair, and then you swallow a house. Like, it just kind of escalates like that. But yeah, it's super silly. But the game begins, and your character's name is Mira, and she's talking to BK, who's a raccoon, on the phone. Everyone's animals except for your main character is a person, and it's like an animal town, but they're all animals that talk. But it's really funny. Mira's sitting on her bed, and her dog's sitting on the bed with her while she's on the phone, and she's just feeding her dog bread on the bed. It's
what?
So funny. Makes me laugh every time. It's so dumb.
That's so random. This is a random thing to give it.
Yeah,
dog.
So the dog's just like sitting on the bed, just having slices of bread fed to it. It's so funny.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
It just is so silly. I'm like, okay, what? Like, as a start, I'm like, okay, what is this weird game? And then just continually weird, silly things happen the whole time afterwards. So it was like a perfect setup for how the game is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Hell yeah. Cool. I got one honorable mention. It's Ghost of Tsushima. It's like the intro battle scene. So like, Mongols are invading Tsushima, which is the island you live on, and there's just so many of them. It's insane. And there's like 300, I think, samurais, and that's it. That, you know, you're outnumbered 100-1, and you just, because of the samurai code, you have to charge them, fight them straight on, whatever. So you just like ride down this beach with 300 horses, and then you just start fighting these Mongols, and you just get obliterated and slaughtered, and the game just goes from there. It's crazy, because there's a lot of tension in the game between like samurai code of honor, and like you always fight your enemies head on so they see you, like, it's with honor, between that and like doing whatever you can to save the island. And it starts out with like, here's what happens when you try to be courageous and righteous as a samurai against this Mongol army. They just will fuck you up. Yeah, so it's just it's a bloody gruesome intro. It's great.
That's awesome. That sounds really cool. That's a game I really want to play. I feel like that's going to be one I'm going to have to borrow from you sometime this year for sure.
Dude, for sure. It's really fun. The intro kind of reminds me of like Lord of the Rings when Gandalf shows up and rides over the hill with all those horses.
Oh, cool.
It's that, but opposite, and you just get fucked up. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah. That seems like a great intro to a game. Like, just... cool, we're here. This is what's happening. Like, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Great game.
That's awesome. Cool. That is our favorite openings to games. If you've got a favorite opening level or just beginnings of games that really stood out to you, let us know. Love to hear more. Or if you agree with any of ours, that would be cool too. And yeah, again, like Jordan said off top, thanks again for supporting the podcast. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks.